Grab your Bibles, and in your bulletin is a handout. That video is intended to just kind of prompt us just a little bit, begin thinking, what about your faith? There's a great question, and there's a great answer. I've labeled it this: I believe the greatest question is why, and I think the greatest answer is because. And parentally, we get those questions, and I think sometimes parentally we give those answers, why and because. We began this series, which was really designed to begin to answer those a little bit, and it does go to the purpose of why we are here and why we exist and what's the church all about. And for the last several weeks now, going back a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Bill was helping teach and teaching us along the way, and did a great job doing that. And I began this series last week, why? Because, and it speaks specifically of the mission of the church. Why does the church exist? Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? What, along the way, how are we supposed to be getting that done? The mission of the church is simple. It is this, that Parkway Hills exists to passionately reach, teach, restore, and celebrate life in God's family. That's why we exist. That's why we are here. We don't exist to just simply take up space, but we actually have a purpose. Mission for the church is born from the Great Commission from the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, them being the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and I've labeled this in my notes as the final command of Jesus. Leading up to this time, Jesus gives some commands. A new command I give, go love one another. This is the final command before the ascension. And so here it is. It comes down. It says, then Jesus came to them, the disciples, who were following him, who were simply amazed at his resurrection. And he said, now all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. There is no other greater authority to have or to speak on their behalf than heaven and earth. So his authority is the authority in heaven and on earth. Any questions? So then he says, here's what I'm saying to you. Because of this authority, I'm giving you a command to go and make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. Cause them to become disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So last week we began this with the command of Jesus. Why? Because do we reach out? We understand that the need becomes important. First of all, the only reason that we exist, the only reason any church exists, is for us to really be that lighthouse of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, here in the place in which we have been planted, so that then there are those around us who see the light, who are drawn to the light, and then we as we share the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, as we share that, they're by the Holy Spirit compelled to learn and desire more. And eventually our hope and prayer is an intentional behavior is to lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought what happens when a person accepts Jesus Christ? Well, have you? Maybe that would help shape some of the things that we do. I can tell you this. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't automatically become wife-loving, husband-loving, children-loving, praying, tithing, teaching Christians. They don't just automatically become that. They become saved. Well, then how do they become that person? Well, they have to be taught. So today's why is this. Why are we doing, what do we do, and what are we supposed to be doing? We are actually supposed to teach. In fact, Jesus said that, teaching them, who is the them? The them is the new disciples, teaching them to obey everything I, Jesus, have commanded you. So Jesus first lived it. He commanded, he lived it out with his disciples. He turned it into a command, and then he says, here's a command on a command. I'm commanding you to go teach those people everything that I've commanded you. So we, the church, have a responsibility then to take that which Jesus has, that we have learned, and it turns into a command for us to go and teach someone else. Here's the question, what is the church supposed to teach? Why are we supposed to teach? When are we supposed to teach? Well, get to the becauses. Now, I know becauses is not a word, but it is now. So here's the first because. Why do we teach? Because people, we need to learn the Bible. No other place, no other form of instruction, unless you intentionally choose to go to a Bible school or Bible college or something, no other place will you choose to corporately learn the Bible. Do you know how basically biblical illiterate most Christians are? That's a sad commentary, and that comes down to the place where many times they've become saved, but they haven't been taught. They haven't been discipled. They've been brought into a fellowship, and then they just said, oh, hey, great, can you lead the third and fourth grade kids? And they went, yeah, sure. And then all of a sudden they get leading the third and fourth grade kids and they don't know things. And so we've got to teach them. That's what discipleship is all about. The mission of the church is to teach biblical truths. So I have a question. Where are those who passionately believe in the Bible and all that it says and all that it teaches? Where are they? Are they in this room? Are you a person who passionately believes the Bible and all of it? Do you? Somebody say amen. Okay, good. Yeah, I can't shake my head any louder, right? That's exactly it. So the people that we're called to believe it, we believe it for ourselves, but then what do we do with it? I can tell you this, as far as I can go back, and I will be very, very cautious and careful to say to you in the form of teaching or whatever, we're not going to get to, well, I think, well, I feel. I'm going to tell you, here's what the Bible says. I don't feel like, fill in the blank. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like, that's not a biblical teaching. And unfortunately, we've got to know that that's not a biblical teaching. Let me say this, for each person that said, I believe passionately in the Bible and all that it is, the church needs you. The culture needs you. The family needs you. You have got to be so guided by a central force, which is God's written word for us. You have got to be so guided by that so that you don't become misguided by the things of the world. So Paul teaching Titus. And as the Bible goes, Timothy, 1 Timothy, then Titus, and then 2 Timothy, Titus is in between both 1st and 2nd Timothy in the chronological order of prior to Paul's death. So we're getting near the end of Paul's earthly ministry, and he says to young Titus, you must teach, chapter 2, verse 1, what is in accord with sound doctrine. In other words, you don't teach what you think sounds good. How many of you have ever read parts of the Bible and you go, man, that's hard? That's a hard saying. That's a tough one to get through. And how many times when you're reading through that, you just like to skip over that? Like, well, okay, I'll just kind of skip over that. Do you know how many times in our culture, but unfortunately in our culture, we have churches who are choosing to skip over parts of the Bible. Important parts of the Bible. Parts of the Bible where God says, I created them male and female. And many of you are shaking your head, but that's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. This church, this pastor will not compromise on sound doctrine. Our culture might not like it. I might go to prison one day because I said, nope, sorry. Those are the two choices, not three. True story, went to the doctor for a physical checkup, you know, a while back, and doing the little, you know, fill in the blanks and filling out your name and doing all those kinds of things, any changes, da-da-da-da. And it got down to, you know, for me, you know, it was like sex, male, female, other. I'm not making this up. You can't stuff you can't make up. So I actually asked our doctor. I get in there and I go, hey, tell me, Mr. Professional in Anatomy, how many choices are there? And he just kind of buried his head. He's like, sound doctrine says, here's what the Bible says. Here's sound doctrine from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws that I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give to you. That is a command of God to say, I am going to teach you these things, now go do them. That is biblical teaching from the Old Testament that gets mirrored almost in the very last words of Christ in the book of Revelation, not here, not there, but you can look it up. Don't add anything to this book. Don't take anything away from it. Deuteronomy says, don't add anything to these commands. Don't take anything away from them. You can go through some sort of debate. You can get into a debate on just about anything if you want. And some people are going to say, well, the Ten Commandments should be reduced down to, say, six. Not making that up either. Not open for discussion. Is it? Better not be. So the question that I have for you is this: how well are you learning the Bible? How well are you learning the Bible? How well are you at this place of going, hey, I'm taking biblical truths, I'm applying them to my life, I'm learning as a result of that how to become more and more in tune with what God's Word is. I am growing in my knowledge of the Bible. I'm growing in my knowledge of the Bible. Anybody have the Bible memorized from Genesis to Revelation, word for word? Anybody got it memorized? Anybody, you got one taker there. Okay, good. Beyond, just kidding. Well, then if you don't have it all memorized, then we've got work to do, yes? So we've got room to grow. So we apply this passage to our lives teach and learn according to sound doctrine. Here's the first why, the second why are we supposed to teach? Here's the next because we need to learn age appropriately. It makes no sense to teach difficult truths to little kids. It doesn't make sense. I walked into a small group Bible study. Here's the title of the Bible study. The entire Catholicity of entire sanctification. Now, does that just bless you? Now, when I surveyed the circle of people who were relatively young adults, they sat there with, like, I think their eyelids were glued open, and it was like, huh? And I said to the teacher, I said, the entire Catholicity of, I can't even say that, of entire sanctification. What on earth is that? How about if you changed it to how to live as the Spirit leads? Oh. But here's the point. We teach biblical truths where you are. Now, this video was kind of funny, and that was the whole point of this thing. Who wants to stay in kindergarten as an adult? Nobody. Ever. But sometimes there are people that are staying in spiritual kindergarten because they're refusing and sometimes choosing to not continue to learn. Here's where the Bible goes on. Back to Paul and Titus chapter 2, verses 2-8. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Verse 3, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Stop right there for a minute. It seems like Paul's talking to Timothy, to Titus. He's going, these old women, they're just kind of a bunch of old people that hang around and drink and talk and get cray. I mean, right? I mean, if you read that, there's a reason why that's there. It had to have been going on. Now, you might think that's funny. Verse 4, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Verse 6, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good in your teaching. Show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Look at the age distinctions. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women. And we're beginning to put this thing together, and there's a reason for that. Everything that gets taught is about the virtues and values of following the Lord. So grateful that Brenda came and prayed today, representing a group of people that is willing to say, we love and we want to help mentor and model for younger people. Do you know the skill and art that is lost within our culture today is this? It's the older one taking alongside the younger one and putting their arm around him saying, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Let's walk this way. Parents, take your children. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Well, the same thing within spiritual instruction is like this. We've got to learn along the way, and somebody has to teach. So to the children, then, Deuteronomy 11, 19 through 21, teach them the laws, the decrees to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that the days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. I begin to, when you begin to look at this, there is this strong, incredible teaching, and I compel you, much like Paul would say, I compel you to have these kinds of discussions at home with your kids. Some of you say, well, I don't have any kids, so I guess I get a free pass. No. Because then, as the older man or older woman, then there's this place of being able to help teach a younger man or younger woman what to do and how to do. Stay off the booze, ladies. Stop talking all the gossip, ladies. I mean, now some of you read this and you go, well, I don't like that. Well, that's in the Bible. Read it. Why do we have Sunday school, small groups, and Bible study? To teach. You know what happens when you're missing? You're missing out on some important teaching. What an incredible blessing to walk in here earlier and seeing John's class taking up this whole side over here. Solid teaching. Solid teaching. Giving you ways to take the gospel, to take the word of God and put it into your own hands and to do something significant with it. I ask you a question. How are you doing in your age-appropriate learning? Are you still in spiritual kindergarten? Or are you growing? Here's the final why. Why do we teach? Because we need to learn how to live as Christians. We need to learn how to live as Christians. I put this as a question, how do we learn how to live as Christians? Now, for some of you that have been raised in the church and you've been just a part of church forever, you're just like, well, it's what you do. Well, good for you. But there's a lot of people that don't know how to learn how to live as a Christian. They don't know what's expected as a Christ follower. And so they consequently then sometimes don't do their best as a Christian witness because they've begin to live out of balance and they're doing things as Christian, but they're also doing things as unchristian. There isn't this sense of, well, I'm learning how to do this, and there's this out of balance. And the church exists to help teach people how to live their life as a Christian. Where else are you going to learn this? Out in the world, at work, at school? Are you going to learn how to live as a Christian? At school, are you going to get the, hey, you know what, as a Christian, you shouldn't do that? No. You have to come together and intentionally put yourself in the place of learning as a Christian. Paul, back to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Here's what the gospel message does. It teaches you to say no to ungodliness. Where else in our culture are you learning to live as a Christian? And so if you're not learning to live as a Christian, chances are you're saved, but man, are you not living as a Christian. Now you can't take the savedness away, but the fruit of your life is that part of being able to say, but this is the demonstration of God living in me. It's teaching me to say no to the things that I used to say yes to. I don't need to see your hands, but my sense is there's just about every single one of us here in this room used to say yes to some things. Maybe anger, maybe some sort of an addiction, maybe lust, maybe. And now through God's word and through teaching, there's a way to be able to say, here's how you say no to those things. Because has to have a basis to it. I grew up as a kid in church. Because was a very popular answer that I received from both my mom and my dad. Because you'll change. Because you'll be different. I can tell you this, they were right and they were wrong. The right part was that if I didn't say no to ungodliness, that I was going to begin to learn that as a behavior, and it became easier and easier and easier. And the part that they were right in was the changeness does affect you, your fruit. Let me ask you a question. Look at the fruit of your life. When I say the fruit of your life, let's just go to the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. So just measure your life up with those things. How are you doing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? How are you doing in those areas? That's the fruit of Jesus Christ being in you. How are you doing in that? How are you learning? How are you growing in that? At some point, we've got to learn how to live as Christians. The church has got to teach how to live as a Christian. Titus 2:15. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you. Why is this important? Because becoming like Christ is our goal. So, how much more like Christ are you today than you were last week, last month, last year? How much closer to that are you doing? How much more passionate are you in your Christian living? That's a question. I'm going to let this close with two potential responses. Here's the first potential response from a message like this. I need to learn this. That's the first potential response. Some of you are sitting here kind of going, wow, I've got to learn this. I've got to learn what it means to know the Bible. I've got to learn age-appropriate material. I've got to learn what it means to be a Christian and how to live like one. Psalm chapter 24. Then this becomes your passage. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are my God and my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. That's you. I need to learn this. Oh God, you are my Savior. You are my hope. I want to learn from you. That's potential response number one. Potential response number two is, I already know this. You're not telling me anything I don't already know, Pastor. Well, then I have a passage of Scripture for you also. Philippians chapter 3, same person, Paul, writing to the church in Philippi. I could end at verse 16 if you want. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. End of story. Okay, you know it. How are you doing in living up to that? I need this or I know this. I need this or I know this. My prayer for every single one of us is this. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. So what's left? So Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we'll have prayer. Last week, we compelled you, we hijacked you. You couldn't get out the door without signing up. My prayer is that those that said, I'll stay home and pray, that you actually pray. My prayer is that those that said they were going to come will come. I'm not going to make you sign up on a list. If you're a Christian and you're choosing the Lord, you can choose to pray at home or you can choose to come here and pray. But what's the point? Pray. There's parts of our life and our witness, there's parts of things that are going on that you need to pray for. You actually need to pray for. You need to pray for your church. You need to pray for your church. You need to pray for those pastors that are here. You need to pray for our church's witness. How about we pray for new people to come to Jesus? So that we would actually be living out mission. I didn't call every one of you Wednesday and remind you to come to prayer. I'm asking you, come to prayer. Just come and pray. And ask the Lord. By Wednesday, we'll have had families that have been in school for 2 or 3 days. Probably be okay to come and say, okay, let's get a little shot of Jesus in the middle of all this. It's okay. It's okay. So let's rise and ask the Lord to take these words. Lord, I pray that these words are not my words, but they become your words. Help us as we engage you, the living Christ, this week, our students and our families. Thank you for the extreme effort that was made to really do a blessing for these kids. And I pray that you'd go with them, go with us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Do want to remind you this or tell you this, next Sunday in our regular service here, our district superintendent, Pastor Tom Taylor will be in service, and so just want you to be aware of that. Please come. Be here. You don't have to wear a suit and tie because I'm not going to, but just to let you know that. God bless you guys. Have a great day.